baby!
Yeah, right. But no, you're absolutely right.
Here, this kind of feels maybe lazy a little bit.
Welcome to Set Cheddar Bubble.
Some movie screenings.
Why not, you know?
Yeah, at that point, why not?
It's got to be Saturday somewhere. It does sound familiar.
It's hilarious.
Hello!
I think we did like 5 shows on this movie.
My name is Tom Cole.
Oh, you bite your tongue if this does not hold up.
Cream corn tonight.
Cream corn tonight.
You are too kind.
Too honest.
That should be good corn time. It's a movie.
Silver Shamrock. Happy early Halloween, Robert.
Happy Halloween to you.
How's the world treating you, sir?
Good. Just waiting for the big giveaway at 9.
Yes, what's happening?
Watch.
What's gonna what are they doing? That, of course, is Silver Shamrock commercial from Halloween 3, which, oh, by the way, you're listening to the podcast Set Cheddar Saturdays with Robert Patterson, the blogger and author of the website setcheddar.com. And you put in the docket that this is the 30th anniversary?
40th. 40th. 40 years.
My gosh.
Connell Cochran just rained hell on earth with his masks.
Great character. Three. Yeah.
It was, you know, and it wasn't until a couple years ago I realized his son was also an actor who was in Superman 3 and one of the James Bond and something. And now that's all I see. You know, I was like, oh. And I think he passed away too. But otherwise, I'm like, oh, maybe we could have done a Halloween 3.2.
Right.
Why not?
And Halloween 3 is the dark horse of the franchise. It's its own beast.
At one point, yeah. I mean, I was around. I mean, I was a kid at the time, and so I knew it really wasn't. I had not seen Halloween 1, or I guess I had seen them, but I didn't quite understand what it was. And at this point, there wasn't supposed to be a franchise. So people were kind of like right now. People get upset when there's not enough Michael Myers. But it's a solid film, and I think it found its footing, a couple of decades later.
Yeah, I agree with you. Don't you think Halloween 3 is not dissimilar to, I guess, the franchise at that point, Friday the 13th? Because Friday the 13th wasn't supposed to be all about Jason Voorhees. It was supposed to be a different thing, you know, and then Jason took center stage as did Michael Myers. So do you think they're kind of similar in that regard?
A little bit, I think. And everybody knows that originally Deborah Hill and John Carpenter want to make a Halloween anthology series. Which if Halloween 2 would have started that way, then that would have been fine. We wouldn't have everything that we have now, but it could have turned into something else. But, you know, that would have also worn out its welcome.
I think so.
Yeah.
Fairly quickly, if you will. I'm going to share right now, this is Robert's page for Halloween 3 Season of the Witch. As Robert mentioned, it reached its 40th anniversary on October 22nd. And I've looked at this page a bunch of times, so I'm just going to let you tell me what to do.
Yeah. So, and these are just kind of the LA locations. I didn't go way up north for the Shamrock Factory location. So they shot some out of Sylmar. Those bridges, they're still there. The gas station is still there. That gas station was also used in one of Hitchcock's last films, coincidentally enough. And I think that same film, it also used the Sierra Madre Cemetery from the original Halloween. So there's some connections there. So the Halloween 3 hospital, they used a couple different hospitals, but I had either just figured out or I can't remember to one of these kind of exteriors that they used. And I went up there and I got some pictures through a fence and it was kind of far away. And so I thought, oh, when I go back again in a couple months, I'll go get a better shot. Maybe I'll jump the fence. I don't know. And I think the last shot will show you what it looked like. Oh, maybe not. But I think, the shot below. That's what it looked like a couple months later.
Oh, there it is.
It was gone. And now.
Because it looks dilapidated here.
Yeah, it wasn't doing too good. And, but you know, it still looked the same. You could match it up. And now there's houses exactly where you see that. So. And of course, good old Sierra Madre for Kirsten Court, where Dr. Chalice drinking and doctoring and adultering.
I know. When I the last time I watched this movie, I think I texted you and I asked if this was the same street as in Halloween 2.
Yeah. Yep.
And you confirmed, and I was very proud of myself for putting that together.
To say I know locations now.
Yeah, the budding set chatter.
I can do Robert's job. So it looks pretty much the same, and they're very used to Halloweenies coming up and taking pictures. So you can grab ice cream in that TV store now.
Can you?
Yeah,
it's an ice cream shop.
It is.
I love it.
Actually, that's where during my 40th anniversary tour. Oh, yeah, that's where that was my lunch.
Oh, nice. Did you have a float?
I can't remember what I had. I just remember I just kind of scooped it down. So. The Buccaneer Bar is still there. Actually, it's in a slightly different location, but they ported over a lot of the art and so forth. So there's me and Mr. Tom Atkins at the bar.
Oh, that's awesome. Where is...
That's in Sierra Madre. Like, literally...
Oh, it's in Sierra Madre?
Yep. 200 feet away from Kirsten Court. So.
Oh, okay.
All in walking distance. So.
Oh.
And Random Alley behind Vera's house from Friday the 13th part 3.
Oh, cool. Vera's house.
Yep. And then some random trick-or-treating shots of Ohio. I can't remember what one of them was. Of course, none of these are actually one of them is Omaha, Nebraska.
I do remember that. Yeah.
The New York, they actually let me in to take some pictures, which was nice. So, but there's some
that's cool
remodeling they had done and added some windows inside.
Oh, nice. At the time.
But still recognizable. There's Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah, there we go.
On Larchmont Boulevard, where they shoot a lot of stuff as well.
It can get away with it.
It looks like Omaha. It looks kind of like our old market here. So.
Does it?
Yeah.
You would buy it if you didn't know?
I think, right. When I was young, I was like, I can't believe they shot in Omaha. I know.
I thought that way too. When I first watched The Stand, which we always have to mention on every show, there's an inset scene. Do you remember Larry's in the tent?
Yes.
It says Pipersville, Pennsylvania, which my best friend lived there. It was like 10 minutes from me. And watching that in the early 90s, I'm like, oh my gosh, they filmed here? Why would they waste time with a tent here? You know, no
why
idea.
Why didn't I know they shot here? So.
Right. Baton Rouge is not far from Omaha here in L.A. So,
yep, that's right off Larchmont Boulevard, too. And I think the L.A. is actually in L.A., of course.
Of course. It'd be ironic if it weren't.
Yep. And Seattle is also in L.A., Santa Clarita.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's a great page.
Thank you.
Where's this at? Phoenix, Arizona? It's
Phoenix, yeah.
Thomas.
Nice.
It's a great page, by the way. Encourage the listeners to check it out at setjetter.com.
A lot of fans have gone farther up north to see the Silver Shamrock factory and all that, but I have not.
What does the factory look like today?
It's been damaged, and I think it's about to be torn down or something, if I remember hearing something, because it is, I think they might have had some earthquake damage. So.
Oh, okay.
It may not be for much longer.
It really is damaged then.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Damaged goods.
How often do you revisit Halloween 3?
Not too often. I did do a quick rewatch on the anniversary because I thought, you know.
When in Rome.
Yeah, I was like, I don't rewatch it that often, but hey, it's October. Come on.
Did you rewatch it on Peacock?
No, I did actually bought up the 4K.
Oh, nice. How does it look?
It looks pretty good. So it's hard because Blu-rays had looked pretty good. I mean, there's just it's kind of just a next step up. So I think and it's coming from 35mm film. So it looks good.
Did the Silver Shamrock commercial have you shaking in your booties?
It did not. But it's
were you scared of this as a kid or young adult?
No, I don't think so. We always kind of watched 1, 2, 3 in order because that's all we had, you know.
Yeah.
But
right.
Yeah, some of it's kind of over my head, and now I look back, and I was like, oh, now that I know that they had added had some reshoots and stuff like that. But anyway, it's still good.
It is still good,
and people
it's fun.
People have kind of found it, you know.
Yeah, I always thought has the popularity of Halloween 3 increased? you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just got new T-shirts, you know, all these Halloween 3 shirts and stuff like that. So, yeah.
It's finally getting its day in court.
It is. So, and Timely Wall says, I know, is writing a book, which will either be out later this year or next year on Halloween 3. He's the director, so.
Writing a book on the making of the movie?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it'll be good.
Are you going to read Tarantino's new book?
I do not. I'm not familiar with.
I think it just came out. I'm very curious about it. He's a director, and he's pretty much raised by film, as we all know, obviously. But he's writing about his experiences growing up, like what movies changed his life, and I don't know. I think it's kind of a retrospective. I might dabble in it. I'll see.
Yeah, he's one that I want to hear him talk about it rather than
right. Yeah, read, maybe, I'd rather just see the clips.
But
we'll see. We'll see. Halloween 3 Season of the Witch. I don't know why I'm promoting it like it just came out. Come out in theaters next week. Check it out.
Watch it.
If you haven't seen this, though, listeners, do check it out. I personally, I'm not the horror buff that Robert is, but I always thought this was the scariest one. There's kids involved. There's all kinds of supernatural Celtic shit going on. Nothing scares people more than Irish shit going awry. I mean, it's just, it's scary. But
and we quoted it when we were set jetting together in Peru.
Yes. Right.
It's like, I feel like a goldfish driving around Piru, California.
I remember that. Yeah, we're driving around.
It did feel like Santa Mira, didn't it?
I felt like we were being watched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Santa Mira, of course, is also taken from Invasion of the Body Snatchers, which shot on Kirsten Court.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
All weaves together.
It all entwines. So we're going to talk about what you've been watching. And I really haven't been watching much, Robert. I'm going to yield to you. I did Halloween Ends, and then I was in jury duty, so I rewatched American Crime Story, the OJ one, just to see how inaccurate it was.
Did you watch it before or after or during? Are you allowed to watch it during?
After.
Yeah. So
I did make an OJ joke, though, in the courtroom.
And
it got a lot of laughs.
And is that, oh, I was going to say, and is that why you, I was kicked off jury.
Yeah, and then I was detained. No, they were talking, the judge said, you know, there's many trials in Los Angeles going on right now. You folks are in the shortest one. This should only last 3 days. Most trials are between 16 and 18, so you really lucked out. And I said something to one of the juries. I said, oh, I heard this was going to be longer than the OJ trial. Like, hope you like hotel rooms for a year. And it got a few chuckles from the deputy, and I thought it was good.
Well, good. Did you get
I really haven't been watching anything new.
Yeah. So, well, we can talk about Halloween Ends at the end, maybe here, since I'll kind of go. So, since we probably have a little bit more to talk about for that one. So, I watched the new Terror Train remake. And so, this is technically the third one. They did make another Terror Train, which was mostly just title. This one, did you watch it? It's a Tubi original.
No, I haven't seen it.
Since we haven't mentioned Tubi yet.
Yeah, Tubi. I will watch it now that I know it's on Tubi.
So are you familiar with Terror Train, the original?
Yeah.
One? So mm-hmm. So this one was strangely not quite Gus Van Sant shot for shot, but they have sets and some cinematography that exactly mirrors
really
the 81 or 82 version.
Like shot for shot?
And it's not just shot, but I mean, it looks like the same sets almost. So the kind of same color scheme and so forth, and some of the same costumes and stuff like that. So I thought that was really interesting. That I don't know. I was not expecting that, but it was fine. I guess not.
Yeah.
I mean, I never.
Did you take it when you were watching it as a respectful homage to the original?
Well, I was more impressed. I'm like, obviously they're showing some love to the original by making it.
Yeah.
Look
right, okay.
The same and stuff like that, and there's and obviously they got away with a different twist at the end because it's probably not appropriate in 2022 to have the same twist that they had on The Magician's Assistant, or it just wouldn't go over as well. So
no,
but yeah, if you watch it, and I recommend kind of watching both, I'd be surprised. I'm like, oh, the diner kind of stage card has the same almost kind of green tint and look to it. And the engineer's car with has the same cage in it and so forth. Now I did, there's a, the train engineer is a female this time. And I was like, oh, this would be perfect for Cherry Jones, but It's not.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
when you see her, you'll be like, she's trying to be her, but.
You think she's like sort of channeling Cherry?
I feel like that's what they wanted.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know. So you take a look at everything, and I'm like, I really wanted her to be her, but that would have elevated the movie to 4 stars right there.
I'm going to watch it just for that reason. You sold me at somebody's trying to be Cherry Jones.
I should have sold you at To Be Original. But
well, yes, of course. To Be Original.
But yeah, so let me know what you think. We can talk about next time. So
yeah, and this is streaming on Tubi.
It is.
Which is a sponsor of the show.
Tubi, Tubi, Tubi. So I also watched Barbarian, which is streaming on, I think, HBO Max. So I heard a lot of good hype about this. I was at the theater for some movie, and a friend was leaving, and he was like almost electric. He had just sat through Barbarian. So I was I was kind of had my hype up, and so I was like, all right. And then, it's kind of a, does take place in Detroit, so it kind of has some echoes of It Follows and Don't Breathe and kind of the dilapidated housing and so forth. But
Which is a little bit of an extra creepy layer.
It is. And then it's one of those that it's kind of a three act, and act one, has a big end, and they kind of do a pivot, you know, to somewhere else, a new character. And I'm like, what is going? Yeah. So it worked for me. It kept me captivated the entire time. So
that says something if you enjoy it. I mean, I've heard a lot of people say similar things to what your friend did. And I, you know, it's one of the best horror movies this year. And it really, and I could take that with a grain of salt, but if you like it, I'm sold. And I'm very curious about this. I didn't realize it was streaming already. So
it is, I think, just this week on HBO Max. So, but yeah, I would check it out. So especially, you know, take original horror while you can. And this is pretty good quality. So not
perfect. Yeah, support it.
Yeah.
You know, what is though?
I'll
tell you what it is. We'll get to that later. Halloween Ends. It's perfect.
Hey. Also started watching American Horror Story New York City, or NYC. I think we're just calling it that. So have you started that? Or
My wife did. I haven't started yet.
So it's a big homage to Cruising, Al Pacino's.
Really?
And Friedkin directed? Yeah, Cruising and stuff like that. Yeah. So if you're not familiar with that, you could maybe give that a watch before that. So, but
how far are you into it?
I think there's 4 episodes so far. I think they're doing 2 episodes a week. So
yeah,
I think they realized that they need to
up at the game a little bit.
People do not want to drag this out for 8 weeks or, you know, 10 weeks or something like that. So they just kind of want to get in and get out or purge it at the end the whole time. So far, so good. I'm not quite sure. It's a little heavy handed in kind of what they're doing, but I'll keep watching to see where they're going with it. I don't hate it like I've hated some American horror stories. Yeah, you know. So, yeah. And you know, they finally got a. Of course, I love LA, but they're actually shooting in New York, so
good.
Yeah, it makes a difference. So yeah, I'll keep watching that.
It does make a difference. Yeah, I mean, it really does. I mean, they use LA as New York so many times. You're like, I get it. You're using the same like 4 streets. Like, it's fine, but. You know when it's New York and LA, unless you don't live in either city. You just go there a lot. You just know.
Yeah, yeah. So, so far, I'll keep watching that. And I'm getting ready to go to Vancouver again with the family in December. I started gearing up on Vancouver films locations. Omen 4: The Awakening, which I hated at the time. It was a direct to TV movie.
Really? Yeah, I've never seen it.
It's not that good. But I have better appreciation for it now for some reason. I don't know. I was like, they tried.
It's grown on you.
Yeah. So rewatch that to get ready for some locations. The Accused. Is that 1988? Yeah. So also mostly shot in Vancouver. So I had rewatched that. And just When a Stranger Calls Back. Which I've done a fair amount of locations for already, but that was kind of a legacy sequel right before it was legacy sequels. You know, they brought back, is it Charles Durning and Carol Kane from the original? So in new roles. And so I saw some, you know, mirrors there of Jamie Lee Curtis and before it was, and that was kind of a direct to Showtime. So that never got a true theatrical release, but
didn't get a proper release.
Yeah, so that movie is still one of my favorites and a great first act of babysitting experiences gone wrong.
Yeah, of course. How long are you going to be in Vancouver for?
I think a week. So.
Oh, you have a lot of time there.
Yeah, so sometime in Victoria and then sometime in Vancouver. So I'll be with my family, so I can't be running to locations the entire time, but I'm trying to kind of squeeze it in. I also trying to do Yellow Jacket location. You know, I'll see what I can squeeze in. But
Yellow Jacket, Omen 4, The Accused, When a Stranger Calls Back. I'm hearing all these viable Vancouver locations. However, I'm not hearing one that matters most.
I was going to make it a surprise, but I just ordered the Blu-ray of The Stand.
Oh, yeah. I was actually going to say Friday the 13th, Jason Takes Manhattan.
Oh,
but The Stand,
I thought of it too. That's what I thought you were getting. So I was like, oh, I guess I can do this to some of The Stand locations.
Yeah,
so I think I pretty much got all the Jason Takes Manhattan locations last time, but I'll double check.
Yeah, I think you did cover pretty well. No, The Stand, would you have to rewatch it?
I would, because I don't have matching screenshots, and I only kind of vaguely remember. And it kind of depends on timing.
Sounds like a great journey, rewatching The Stand and doing locations.
Yeah.
I wish I were going with you.
Well, it's not the Utah Stand. It's
right. No, I know, but
yeah.
It sounds, I'm having the itch to rewatch the remake.
Well, and it could be one of those that maybe I'm like, well, you know, it's not so bad now. But Yellow Jackets, I'm really, so did you watch Yellow Jackets at all?
I've watched four episodes and I think I fell off. Not because I didn't like it or anything. I just, my life shifted or something. I never finished it.
But so I'm looking forward to
it. You liked it. You watched the whole thing.
I did, so I'm kind of excited. So, but
I know why I didn't finish it. It was a trial on Stars, and it ran out, and I didn't buy the subscription.
And you just didn't care enough. what was The Stand on at the time? CBS.
It was Paramount Plus, which it was Paramount.
Yeah. So
that was their banner show.
They thought this will do it.
They really did. For 6 months, it was get ready for The Stand. And I ate right out of their hand. I was like, of course I'm getting this to watch The Stand.
And there were only two people on Earth still talking about it at the end.
You know, when we covered The Stand each episode, we really, really covered it deeply. I listened to back some old shows.
We were treating it like serious stuff. Stanley Kubrick's The Stand.
We really got in there. And looking back, and even at the time, nobody else was talking about it. You know, I didn't see anything on social media. People here that I
CBS All Access wasn't even talking about it.
No, exactly. It was just, and I had never heard about it since.
No, nobody cares. So.
No.
And of course, Halloween Ends. So, which I saw 3 times in the theater.
Oh wow!
Yeah, yeah.
A dedicated fan.
Opening night, and then the next day with my mentee, actually 2 times in theater, and then once in my home theater with my sister. So,
oh, yeah.
And then kind of multiple, a couple times here and there as I was, you know me, and I literally work to find every location. So with the help of a couple others that were able to find, a couple missing locations I could not find, or somebody else found them first, which was helpful to me, so.
Before we get into the locations, what do you think about Halloween
so
Ends?
So I went in thoughts? Ready to. I was like, one, you heard all the horrible reviews, and you know, and then fans.
I did it. Up
in arms or whatever. So I went in arms crossed, all right, I'm getting ready to hate this. And then there's a couple things so Universal logo. I was like, they did the whole WRG radio, and I'm like, wait a second. I like to open with the. You know,
yeah, right.
First, I'm like, what are these blue credits? And I'm like, this is the Halloween 3 font and color.
Yep,
it's their little wing.
It was a little nod.
So,
I
already knew the opening scene because, you know, when they give out, you know, like Halloween Ends, we'll bring Laurie Strode after a disastrous opening babysitter. I'm like, well. You can't tell us that. But I remember people in my audience were flipping out because they weren't expecting that. They do kind of set it up that Michael Myers is in the house. And so they weren't quite expecting this, what happens, you know, with the little kid and so forth.
Right.
So And so
I fell for that bait.
Did you? So yeah. which is good. Yeah, I was like, oh, I, you know, kind of like this. And so so I ended up really liking it. And I know I think what has happened is that I see there's a lot of fans that seem to like Halloween Kills that hate Halloween Ends, and nothing against the super Michael Myers fans, but I think the people that are like the Laurie Strode fans get this as a good, this is more, even though she's not in as much, this is more
for more her. Of a Laurie Strode film.
Yeah. So
it's character centric towards her 100% more than the last one.
Her character is a little bit out of different bounds than usual. So just her, like her at the gas station. Hey, assholes.
And yeah, she's kind of like, this is the final romp. We're going to have fun.
Yeah. And the, with the pumpkin, and she's like throwing it on the floor and stuff like that. So, but I just liked some of her smaller moments too, when she sees Cody, is it Corey? Corey. At the bush and so forth. And
yeah,
she's saying whatever. And she goes, I'm sorry. You know, she can barely breathe, you know? And I just, I thought she did pretty well. So I was,
I thought that was a good scene too. And they really did a good job of showing him slowly morphing and becoming more like him. And I feel like they did, it was a pretty good nod. It could have went really awry if you think about it.
Yeah. I love the soundtrack. I thought, yeah, I could hear pieces of The Fog and Christine. There's like little, I mean, this kind of John Carpenterville, of course, within the junkyard scene with the band kids, I thought was great.
Question and disturbing. About that scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to spoil anything if the listeners haven't watched it, but the junkyard scene where they're in the car and they're racing towards the fence and.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you just go to the left and hide behind a car? Did anybody else think of that, or was I overanalyzing this scene?
These are band kids. Come on.
Okay. Well, they're like running down this narrow strip with cars on each side. I'm like, just dart one of the cars. The Jeep won't, or the car won't go over them and kill you. It's not Christine.
I think they just wanted to get out of there. I don't know.
Well, it also makes for better shooting in a story.
It does. Yeah. So one got over and got away. So Margot also tried to kind of do the same. So.
Yeah.
But for the final kid that gets it, I guess we won't spoil it, whatever. I just thought, here's the thing. It was out of focus and in the bottom frame of the screen, but that was the most disturbing kill for me.
You're talking about when he's on the table?
No, where Margot's watching.
That kid
get killed and stuff like that.
Yeah, so that was brutal.
That kind of disturbed me. So. So I ended up liking it, and dare I say, it gets me a little emotional towards the end.
Yeah, yeah. No, it does. It does.
I liked the final shot asking about cherry blossoms. So.
Yeah. No, it's very moving. It's touching in that way, and I enjoyed it very much.
It's some Drive vibes. Do you Drive with in 2011? I don't know the soundtrack or when they're on the motorcycle. I'm like,
oh yeah. Yeah. It does have some Drive vibes.
It feels like Drive. And a little bit of Grease too, as he's learning to ride the motorcycle.
Yeah, no, it has those vibes. And, I thought it was good. I really enjoyed it. I watched it twice. I thought, you know, I didn't see it in the theatrically, but it was good. I thought it was a lot better than Halloween Kills. And,
agree.
It had a certain sense of nostalgia to it with the music and the John Carpenter-esque melodies. And it was good.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to, I did book a trip, I think at the end of January to go down to Savannah. So.
Oh, nice. Beautiful town.
I didn't bother to go to Halloween Kills locations, but I might bother to go to Halloween Ends locations. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's a beautiful city too.
It is. And I got a nice little shout out today from, I don't know, was it Savannah Tourism or something like that?
Down in Savannah.
Things to do this Halloween weekend, and they gave a shout out to my website to go visit the Halloween locations.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a great shout.
They had a little note, something about, like, good to location scout for picking out the gas station. It's apparently pretty scary in real life. So
apparently in real life, it imitates art. It's
creepy. Like, maybe I'll have to... I'll I'll visit that one during the day, of course.
Right, right. I'm going to share this briefly. This is the SetJetter .com entry for Halloween Ends. Robert, may I?
Yes.
Okay.
So, and I actually created it over a month ago, but then I redated it for and did updates after the movie came out. But so,
Laurie Strode's house. This is in Savannah on East Duffy Street.
Looks pretty good.
Looks pretty great. Yeah.
Corey's house is not too far away. And then I really got to the point, I'm like, I wanted to find every little shot. So this one was the hardest for Jeremy's house was the hardest one for me to find. So, and Paul from Halloween Filming Locations, he's the kind of guru that finds everything. So I'd found pretty much everything except for just a two or three. And then he posted that he had found this finally. I'm like, ugh. And so, I literally, before he told me, I'm like, I'm going to have to find this myself. And so it took about another 15, 20 minutes, but then I was able to locate it. So the only clue I had was I knew the stand-in for Corey, and he said it was, he didn't know exactly where it was because he was, you know, brought on a van, but he said, you can't, it was a kind of a long gate, long driveway gated. You cannot see it from the road. And I was like, oh, so it's, I just like, I knew it would be a shoreline house somewhere. So yeah. I just literally had to go look at the entire shoreline. So.
And you got it though.
I finally figured it out. So.
Oh, hell yeah. Houses in Blue Avenue in Montgomery, Georgia.
So, but yeah, and it's a nice house. So, this is where Jamie drives by, of course, completely different. It's just down the street from her house and so forth. But I really, this one, I really kind of got into every single little.
You got him.
Yeah. So,
you did a great
job. I didn't know if you recognize the woman hanging is actually Oscar's mother. So Oscar was killed in the first Halloween 2018, and she's wearing his costume. He was in the one that was impaled on the fence.
Oh, yeah. So no, I did not put that together.
Yeah. So she's wearing Oscar's costume here.
Oh.
Where she hangs herself.
Nice screenshot.
Kind of all these little random, you know, locations. So what other fun stuff do we got?
Going down the street.
Yeah. This one I happened to find because when I was looking for the radio station, I found this building that looked like the radio station but wasn't. And so for some reason I had that in my mind. And so as soon as I saw this shot, I was able to
match it up.
Yep. So, and right next to there is the kind of underpass. The junkyard location was special thanks to somebody. I don't know if I can say because I don't know if he signed an NDA or not. We'll talk about that later. But.
Okay. But thanks to them, regardless.
There's the scary gas station.
That is a scary gas station.
It might be. I don't. It seems fine to me, but who knows?
Yeah, it does. It's okay, I guess.
Yeah.
It just looks like a gas station.
Yeah, it could be in one of those seedy areas. So the viaduct is down in, or I guess up in Sylvania, Georgia. So they obviously had to go somewhere else to kind of find that. So.
Oh, yeah.
That's
the billboard.
And right underneath is where Michael Myers is in the pipe.
Did you get this from Google Maps?
Yeah, these are all Google Map views. So I just did my best.
Like underneath the bridge here?
Yep.
Oh, cool.
Just happened to match it up. So, or the best I can.
That's pretty cool.
This I couldn't get, you know, the grocery store is also in another kind of small town. So one, I really like that scene where she's, you know, Jamie's, you know, in the grocery store, and obviously they're playing a Muzak version of Don't Fear the Reaper.
Right.
And, you know, of course she's twirling her hair like she did in the first Halloween and stuff like
It was a nice nod.
What I really like this scene is because one, she's kind of now at her happiest, you know, that she had this rekindling, and then they literally, she goes from the very top to the very bottom when the sister confronts her about meddling with Michael Myers and ruining her sister's life. But
yeah, opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, so I like
it. It was well executed.
Yeah. Outside of Allison's work was tough for me to find. Don't ask me how, because there's obviously not too many.
Yeah, clues. How'd you find that?
Well, in the first picture, you can kind of see that there's a building behind him.
Uh-huh.
And so I just kind of looked for that building and did some reverse engineering.
Oh.
Yeah. That was tough. Nice. I did it.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine. Yeah.
This is actually right next to the grocery store, so that's easy to find.
Cool. Yummy house.
If there's anything interesting. Oh, the bar. This was tough for me. Yeah, because I was like, where there's it was that night. She, they come out of the bar and I'm like, I have no clues. And so I can't remember. There's one I could kind of see a maybe sign. I started just kind of Googling whatever. So the exterior, I finally figured out was a VFW post. I'm like, perfect. You know, I figured that out.
Right.
And then I was like, where's the interior? And I, in my mind, I'm like, I think they used a real bar for the interior. And I looked and looked and looked. And then finally, stupid rubber, I'm like, no, the interior is the VFW bar itself.
Oh.
It's like, I just wasted a whole lot of time. But
right. No, how would you know?
The sign clinched it because, you know, this, I saw the same sign in both of them. I'm like, oh, all right. So,
yeah. I put those Halloween pumpkins faces over the
people. Yeah, because I'm like, I wanted to.
Yeah, you know,
those right. Real faces, but I'm like, right. So stupid rubber, just wasting time.
No, I like it.
Yeah, but I found it reverse wise, outside first and then inside.
And I love the Yingling. That's a Pennsylvania beer, which is great.
Is it? Okay, I wasn't familiar.
Yeah, it's rare that it would be there.
Did you notice there was a lot of East Coast accents in Halloween Ends?
I did.
Haddonfield, Illinois. I didn't quite know what was going on.
There was a lot of waters and use and nose and phone. And I did pick up on that.
Like Corey's mom, the lead band asshole, all had these weird kind of Eastern accents for some reason.
Yeah, they were so like a Southeastern Pennsylvania, maybe Delaware.
Something. I don't know.
Hybrid thing going on.
I'm like, this isn't Illinois, but I thought it was a little strange, but.
Good point.
I was like, well, like this isn't realistic. Anyway,
right.
So a lot of these locations you can find by signs, and so these are pretty easy. The radio station was tough for me.
Oh, here
to
it
find.
Is.
Yeah, because I found that a few weeks before the movie came out. But you do, if you do go to Google Street View, you can see them erecting the WRG Dion. Yeah. If you look at a certain date, you can kind of see them getting that ready to put up. So,
what's the significance of WURG or?
Well, I think obviously Urge is right there. And so I think David Gordon Green is talking about the Urge is always out. I mean, I don't think it's as on point as saying the radio station is sending out message to Urge. But I think he's trying to.
But that could be the tie-in.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Not as big a deal as he was going to indicate it for the, based on the Halloween Kills, that it shows up in every other scene, but
right. I know it really did, but good point on that.
The restaurant looks the same.
This is
Dr. Mathis's house. So if there was two characters that did not be in the movie, it's Dr. Mathis and the head nurse.
Yeah. Wasn't a huge fan.
No, they're asshole people. Pointless. To begin with. Yeah. This Illinois would never have an outdoor pool. Come on.
No, come on now.
Yeah. So somebody else found this house, so good for them.
I love the early 80s, late 70s, new Art Deco, facade.
Yeah, but you think of Haddonfield, Illinois, that's exactly the type of house.
That comes to mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. It was so out of place, didn't need to be there. Yeah. This is what I think of when I think of Haddonfield.
Yeah, that's Haddonfield, yeah. Right. So all these little trick-or-treat houses are on the same street, kind of get a little quick one-shot, so.
Yeah. And this was
a little tough sign, but this was the quick shot of two people dead in a Jeep.
Yeah.
And then I really went to the nth degree of every motorcycle drive.
You didn't mess around.
I didn't. I was like, where's that? So
nice job.
Yeah. So I do my best. There wasn't too many clues on these. And so no. I feel like,
you're the first one that did, that's done Halloween Ends to this extent.
Some people have been to like the houses before, like Lori's house. Everybody knew where Lori's house was.
Yeah.
But some of these, I'm not sure as far as I know.
Yeah, you did a great job. It's a very impressive selection.
And then near the end, like these little, you can barely see these houses. But I
matched it up through the picture.
I wanted to find them. Yeah. And
I'm glad
then,
you covered this shot because it really isn't. No, I mean that seriously. It's not. It looks pretty difficult to find.
Yeah. So eventually they shoot a lot of the same streets. And then I think a lot of the procession was part of the reshoot. So I was really, I really wanted to find this house where they kind of turned the corner. So that was a big deal for me to be able to find that.
You got
and
it.
Then, yeah. And this, you know, weird fence down the street. So anyway, Paul H. found the Leaving Haddonfield, which If I had a little bit more time, I should have been able to find that. But good for him.
Good for him. Yeah, Paul H. Is the guy with the Eagles shirt on? That you sent me?
No. I don't. So we've never, nobody's ever met Paul H.
What if he's 10 people?
He could be 10
coordinating.
People. He could be, yeah. So he finds stuff that nobody seems to find. So he dwarfs me based on his skill levels.
Right. So he dwarfs you?
I think so, yeah. So
doubt it.
He can find stuff that he's found stuff that other people have not can't find. So
well, I'm not doubting his prowess or expertise in the genre of set jetting.
Yeah.
But compared to Mighty Robert Patterson, there's just no competition.
Yeah. So you may or may not know. So Brian from Reel to Reel Locations is an extra in Halloween Ends.
Oh, and yeah. He probably, mentioned that.
Yeah. So he's listening. So intentionally did not ask him beforehand because I don't want to know. And I'm sure they sign NDAs. But yeah. So
sure.
He can be seen in there.
He's at the towards the end of the film.
Yes.
I heard he played Michael Myers.
He might have played.
No, that's really cool.
Yeah. So anyway, I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it too. And I think you did a great job. I think we might have to rewatch it tonight together. On Peacock.
You and I? Yeah.
You and I. Just to watch it again. It's a fun movie. And seeing your entry on this, as with most of your entries, makes me want to like watch it. And then I'm looking out for things like, oh, that's where it was. And that's how he got that. Yeah. And it's really interesting. But yeah, I'll watch it again. Halloween.
It clips along pretty well, I think. Stephen King liked it.
Yeah, he did. He did. Yeah. And it had some good pacing to it, which I enjoyed. I thought it was good. The set jetting, I feel like, is missing the mark by not doing beach scenes for movies and call it wet jetting. You know, you could do like the end of Planet of the Apes. And I mean, it's endless. Endless summer. I mean, come on.
I did Back to the Beach.
You did do Back to the Beach.
Yeah. Does that count? So
it does count, certainly.
Okay.
Before we get into Blind Man's Bluff, we have some sad news this week, Robert. This was Ted White passed away. He played Jason in the final chapter, Friday the 13th, Part 4.
The best Jason.
Arguably the best Jason. And I didn't realize about him, but he was an old guy. He was 96.
Yeah, he was getting up there, obviously, for sure. So, and he had quite the career, and I'm sure, I know he's good friends with Sean Clark, but, and he had the stories to tell, you know, obviously working through Westerns and doing all sorts of stuff. And I don't think his name even appears on the credits, because I don't think he didn't want nothing to do or was embarrassed by playing Jason, but he ended up embracing the fans.
You've spoken about that on a past show, which is pretty cool. He asked, he turned it down, and he wouldn't return to the franchise. But it wasn't until, what is it, like 20 years later, he really started getting into it again?
I think he started doing conventions and so forth, but
yeah.
Now you got me curious. I was like, how old was he?
He was 96 when he passed away, so he would have been what, 50 something when he did Friday the 13th?
Let me see here. I'm gonna do my calculation. Yeah, 50. Was he 58 when he did Friday the 13th?
When did Friday the 13th come out?
1984.
Okay, so he would have been 50.
58 plus 38
yeah.
is 96, if it was 38 years ago.
Yeah.
If we're doing math right, listeners. But anyway.
He was close to 60 when he did the film.
Not a spry.
No.
Jason.
No. But it worked. Arguably the best one, though.
Yeah.
Little bio on Ted. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
There you go.
I was just going to read his bio, just briefly a little bit about him. He was born in Texas, originally played football at University of Oklahoma before pursuing a career in acting. His first film would be The Sands of Iwo Jima in 1949. His resume also includes stuntman work, including 1968's Planet of the Apes and 73's Soylent Green, along with Escape from New York and Gone in 60 Seconds. So those first three there, I mean, iconic thrillers. Just to be on that set in any capacity, but to do stunts on them is pretty impressive.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Starman.
Starman.
He's in John Carpenter's. Yeah, he played the Deer Hunter. I remember in the 80s, you know, there was no.
He was in Deer Hunter?
Yeah, he was the Deer Hunter and Starman.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
He might have been in Deer Hunter too. I don't know. But yeah, you would just have to look through credits and match names up and stuff like that. So that's how I kind of, that's how I figured out what he looked like, because you could actually see his face in Starman. So the deer scene where the Starman brings the deer back to life. So he's one of those.
Touching.
Yeah.
E.T., Starman, but usually just some kind of big lizard. but he also did, I'm sorry, when he did Friday the 13th, that was... What was the reason? It doesn't say that he was he embarrassed by it or something.
Like, why wouldn't he embrace that? I think it was. I don't want to say it was kind of beneath him. I think he did good work, but I think he just like, oh, people don't need to know it's me.
He wasn't running headfirst into it.
Killing naked teenagers and so forth. But I don't think he realized what it. You know, well, here's the thing: Paramount was embarrassed with these films. They were just there to make money and. And who knew that decades later fans would be paying you to take pictures and get autographs for this little lark that you did for 5 weeks.
Right. In 1988.
Yeah.
Whenever you wouldn't.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, rest in peace, Ted White. That's sad. All right. Finally, Blind Man's Bluff. I feel like we needed to do one, Robert. It's been a hot Omaha minute since we did.
It has been.
And how this works, listeners, is we randomly pick a generate a entry from Robert's website and spring it on him. And Robert's going to talk about it. And today we have a treat. We have Just One of the Guys, 1985. Do you remember doing this entry, Robert?
Yeah, I remember. I was in Phoenix for... I was coming back from, I was doing LA, and then I was doing a stop by in Phoenix for a convention, if I remember correctly. So I thought you were going to read, you read it, and I have to figure out what movie it is.
I do. And yeah, I totally jumped the gun on that because I'm so excited doing this. So, but rather than Trump precedent, I'll just read the opening. Happy anniversary to Just One of the Guys, released April 26, 1985. While visiting Phoenix many years ago, I got a staph infection and was in... Oh, wait, no, it doesn't say that. While visiting Phoenix many years ago, I popped by a couple locations for the film. Before we commence, what convention or what was in Phoenix?
I think it was Mad Monster Party. And so I remember because it had Adrian King, Amy Steele, and Dana Kimmel. So parts 1, 2, 3, Final Girls.
Cool.
All three tables in a row. So I was super excited about that. So this one is a very sparse. I think this is a single or double location. I just happened to go to the house, their house and so forth. But I think that's all I did for this film.
Okay.
Yeah. But there's the house. It looks like a typical LA house.
It really does.
Yeah.
It really does.
But do you remember there's times where films were shot in Chicago, and then a lot of films were shot, you know, Phoenix, and I think there's like tax reasons. You can kind of see why a lot of different films kind of show up.
Oh yeah, they kind of jump around.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
And then The Hole in the Rock, which I did go visit. I didn't get a good screen matching shot, but I know they have their date up there, and so forth. But are you familiar with this film? It is kind of a
vaguely, yeah. We might have even mentioned it before. I don't remember. So how often do you revisit it?
Not too often. I think I did when on the anniversary. So Billy Zabka from Karate Kid fame is in this, also playing an a-hole. And they have two actors from the April Fool's Day in this. And so it's still... it's one of those, like, when I post anything about it, people go a little nuts because they're like, I love that film. You know, you never know.
Right. Yeah, people that will love that regardless. That people
remember, so... Yeah. Just One of the Guys. I feel like they might have done a remake of this or something like that, but
really,
maybe not.
Is this on the Robert's movie rating system? Where would this fall?
I think I might own it.
Okay,
own it on DVD. So whatever level that is. So
all right, we're in the mid range there, which is
in the mid, yeah.
Favorable.
Now I did see one of my favorite movie sites. I should say steal, but used my movie review where it just had big logos. It's fine.
Wait, what do you mean?
Is it My Sunday Movies? I can't remember. So you're not going to be able to see it, but they just have this thing. It's fine. And so that's how, like some movies, I'm like, how is, you know.
It's fine.
Just one of the guys. It's fine. Yeah. You know, that means yeah. I'm like, I'm not going to say anything bad about it. I'm not going to say, hey, go see this, but it's fine.
Right.
You know.
You used that last week when we talked about Children of the Corn, the original. I said, do you like it? Do you watch a lot? You said, it's fine.
It's fine. So.
Which is, it is. It's just fine.
Yeah. It's. That there's nothing. There's a better review than that. So I was surprised to see some other YouTube channel kind of using that.
Right. It's fine.
Yeah. It's like a lot of Marvel movies. Like, it's fine.
It's fine. It is what it is.
Yeah.
It's a movie.
That's I love that one too. So that'll be my new rating system. I'll come up with a couple of it's.
It's a movie. Yeah. It's fine. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
So for 2022, I'll come up with a new system. How about that?
Okay. Yeah, that's a good thing to look forward to.
All right.
I do quote your movie, It's a Movie. Quite a bit, actually. And I didn't realize I did so much, but you really rubbed off on me. People be like, you know, what do you think about Jaws 3? I'm like, to like a big Jaws fan or Shark fan or something. I'm like, it's a movie.
A movie.
It is.
Give me that Diet Coke.
My old thing, Diet Coke. My whole thing was not committing to plans that I didn't want to do. And usually work related, like, hey, we're all going out after the meeting. I'm like, man, it's an option. It's an option. Mm. You know, and not actually committing, but I don't have the heart to be like, yeah, I don't really like you guys.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about my present coworker.
Of course. Yeah. You could do it. Yeah. Let me think about that. Let me see. I might be, my friends also know my excuse is like, I'm washing my hair that night.
Right. I've gotten that a few times from you. Yeah.
So, we did have a 35th anniversary for Prince of Darkness. A couple weeks ago. Scary. So that still holds up for me.
Yeah.
Great soundtrack. And great
characters.
Location. Yes. Great location as well.
Yeah. The church down. Is that still standing downtown?
It is. It's a art. I'm going to say art co-op now or a theater or something like that. I can't remember. So, but so it's, they're kind of more accepting of visitors, I think. So I actually went to a screening of Prince of Darkness in that church a number of years ago.
Really?
So, yeah, they had it all done up with. It was great. That
did they have the glowing like thing?
They did. I had a glowing green drink.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. And Sandy Carpenter was there, and I can't remember the actor's name. I remember because I was pushing him because we're at the bar at the same time. Let me buy you a drink. He's like, no, I'm fine, whatever. And then I realized he does not drink. But it's just fine. But
the guy that played the doctor.
The
professor.
I just forgot his name here.
Okay,
It'll come to me. I'll find it. But now I don't know his name. But
what was the name of the order in that movie? The Order of the Brotherhood of Sleep or something.
Well, that might be right. I don't know. Last time I watched it without sounds because I was doing locations. But So it still holds up. It was kind of a sleeper movie. Doesn't get too much love. Or ongoing love nowadays, but I still like it. Donald Pleasance.
Can't go wrong. Yeah. Oh, he's great. Why don't you think that gets a lot of love? Is it just the way things are? Because I've always felt that was a stand-up, scary, solid, well-done movie. It really did its job.
I don't know. I think horror
like
fans love
well,
it.
I mean.
But yeah, but nobody really talks about it.
No, like almost never.
Yeah.
I kind of forget about it, and then once in a while, I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot this movie exists. It, like, never streams anywhere.
And it's not perfect by any means, but, So I like it. They had it set up so, you know, when you could come out of the front door, like she does during that video and stuff like that. They had it in the alley.
Dream.
They had, like, an Alice Cooper lookalike standing behind you and stuff like that. So it was a lot of fun for the families. So I remember it sold out just like that. And I was like, I wanted to go in there because I knew I'd be in LA at the time. And then I think I saw Sean somewhere. I was like, oh, I wish I could get tickets. He's like, I can get you in, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah, and you got to go see him.
Yeah. So
when you said they had the Alice Cooper look like came out? You're talking about the scene where she comes out in the dream of the church?
Two things. Like when they come out in the dream, if you go to my website, you can kind of see that they had it set up so you could also come out. Yeah, actually, this would be much more interesting than just one of the guys. But
let's not get so hasty.
Well,
we just don't know.
We just don't know where people are like, just one of the guys is so much better. But
right, we just lost three listeners when we just bashed one of the guys.
They don't like that.
Yeah, let's take a look at this here. Prince of Darkness, 1987.
So we start off obviously with the mission, where the park is kind of right across the street from their mission. And then the mission, they kind of use this kind of long, I don't call it the hallway.
Yeah.
That's also with the Alamo and Pee Wee's Big Adventure, right on the other side of that.
Oh, right, right.
Yep.
Makes sense.
This was a big find for me. So trying to find this porch that was only in one, this is the only shot of the porch. And I can't remember. It took me a while to find. I found it outside of USC. And usually this is a gated area. It happened to be open that day, so I just went up on the porch. And
it was open for a reason.
I know, so I went up there. So, and this is a matte shot, but this is where it's supposed to take place. You can kind of see the house on the right. They kind of replicated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So a lot of USC shots, which pretty much looks the same.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know. I don't think you can really just get into USC like you used to be able to, but I was able to get a couple of the classrooms and the hallways and so forth.
They beefed up the security there.
Yeah, which I get. There's a reason.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you got to do it.
I'm not sure how I found all these spots.
You did a great job.
Thank you. So then we get to the church. And then if you go to below, you can see the evening version. So they had it all done up in green and stuff like that. So it was just one of those perfect night. You know, I remember after the event, I was just like, what a perfect night.
Where was the actual screening, though?
Yeah, like inside the church. Yeah, so I think there might be a picture, so you'll be able to see. So.
Oh, okay.
And if you go there, right there behind me is Alice Cooper. Yep.
Yeah.
If you go to the picture before, there, you can kind of see
nice.
Behind me. Yeah, so yeah. They did a good job, you know.
I think so. It looks just like him from this.
Doing all that. So if you go down a little further, you should be able to
see this.
Nope. Go up a little bit. Go to the second picture now.
Here?
Yep. Keep going. There I am. So they had it set up.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah. Yeah. That's okay. They had it set up so you can come out of like she did in the video and so forth.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Now, the interiors, they did shoot some interiors here. And so where the theater is now is kind of where they set up shop. So.
Where the theater is,
in the church, they kind of built a theater and so forth. So, I think near the end of these, I might have put a picture. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. But somewhere, yeah. But anyway,
no. But this is fun though. What a fun night. When was this? Like the screen?
2015, I think. It's during Madonna time.
Oh, so it was fairly recent.
Yeah, semi recent. It's weird. Anything before COVID seems like a long time ago.
I know. It really does.
Yeah.
You can see things from even like 2019. You're like, oh,
like, wow, we can just do whatever you want. I can't even fit into that Prince of Darkness shirt anymore.
Oh, you just stop. Sure, you can.
It's true. But yeah.
No comments have been left. Looks like I have some work to do tonight.
Nobody cares.
They care. They care. They're just in awe. But this is a great entry, though. This is one of the... they're all exciting, but one of the more, for me as a fan, exciting because you really got to go in there. I mean,
that's a little bonus.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
How often do you revisit Prince of Darkness?
I did, obviously, on the anniversary because I was like, I think this is one of those I didn't have a proper page. I'm like, I was like, oh, tomorrow's the date. I need to up my, up my game here. So, tonight. Tomorrow's the anniversary for Halloween too, and I'm like, oh, I've been to these locations and I've not really done a
proper better post.
Yeah, I've done a proper, like, but it's just like I have better pictures now and I just haven't done it. So
we're gonna expect that tomorrow.
I will try to get to work on that. So Now, I did get a little crap for my on one of my pictures for the Terminator had its anniversary this week.
I saw.
And so one of my pictures has a picture of when I first went to Griffith Observatory in 1988.
I saw the comment. They said you need an updated picture.
And I was like, what are you talking? This is as authentic as you can get. It's just a couple years after the Terminator shot there, you know. That's why I included it.
But. No, I know. And it was funny. And I did see the comment. Somebody commented and you posted the picture back. But, I mean, the Griffith Observatory, it's not a barbershop on 3rd Street from 1972. It looks the same as it did in Rebel Without a Cause. Like, it's timeless.
The front, correct. Around the back, they did a lot of changes. But, so I thought I was being nice.
It was clever.
Having actual 80s pictures.
Yeah.
Like I did with Ruthless People, you know, in 1988.
Right. Yeah.
There are things there in 88 that are no longer there. So. Or Superman 2.
Were you there like Niagara Falls. Years after?
Yeah. So. Wow. I was such a before I knew.
That was a good job though on the Terminator.
Do my best, but yeah. And there's obviously super Terminator fans out there that have done every little. Well, downtown stuff it's not fun to do.
Nothing downtown is fun to do, ever. That's a big LA thing, too. If you mention downtown, it's like, nope, I can't do it. It's like, it could be something very exciting, but you hear downtown and just not,
It's a lot of trouble. Now, the arts district now is obviously overtaken. You can, obviously, it's much safer area and so forth. You can't find parking at all, but...
Yeah, right.
And
The parking is like the big thing. It's just
too much trouble.
Not worth the effort.
Yep.
But anyway, that'll be our show tonight, Robert. Unless you had anything else.
No, just time to celebrate Omahalloween.
Omahalloween.
That term.
Yeah, Omahalloween. You heard it here first, folks. We've coined it, Omahalloween. And Halloween will be on Monday this year.
Yes.
So something to look forward to.
Our schools are taking the next day off. I'm like, really? You're trying to avoid that sugar high that much? That
wait, they're taking it off because it's the day after Halloween?
They didn't say so, but it seems strange. That
like a hangover? I don't get it.
A candy hangover. They're like, we're not dealing with hangover candy hangover kids.
Yeah. You know what? I guess for the kids, it makes sense. I remember going out trick-or-treating as a kid, and it was always so much fun, and it was kind of a downer that you get home. It's 9:30, and you're like, oh, I got school tomorrow. When was the last time you went out trick-or-treating? How old were you? What was your costume?
That's a good question. I don't remember. When do you stop trick-or-treating? Like 8 or 9?
That's the question for the ages.
Yeah.
I would think like so.
Yeah. I mean, I remember going out as Darth Vader, you know,
So
I had to be 8 or 9 at that time. I don't know if I did anything after, like true trick-or-treating, you know? You know, and I remember I wore sunglasses over my under my mask, so it was more authentic.
Oh, yeah, you had the blacked out.
Yeah, you can't. You see my eyes. I'm like, that's not realistic.
Right, no, you have to. I like that you add the extra layer of authenticity.
Yeah, even back then, I was like, this, I need to up my...
If you're going to do it right. You knew.
And I wore, and now I remember black gloves as well to complete the full Darth Vader costume. So,
oh, that's exciting.
I think I added a cape and so forth. Yeah, so I wasn't messing around.
Was this after Return of the Jedi?
No. This is, I think it was after Star Wars, but before Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, okay. So it was fresh off of
Limbo area. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
It wasn't called A New Hope back then.
No, it was just Star Wars. No. No.
What about you?
I think I was 12 or 11 and I was Papa Shango, who was a witch doctor wrestler. But then I went out at age 15 with my friend Justin. We just wanted to get candy, so we put on really shitty masks. And we went to this house, one of the first houses, and the dad was like, you guys are too old for this. And I was like, I know. We just want trick or treat. We weren't even trying. It was just so bad.
Just like, just give us some free candy, dude. So
right, we did. I was Jason Voorhees one year, and we went to the convent because I went to Catholic school, and the nuns answered, and at the last minute I ditched my axe because I was like, I don't want to like bring an axe into like the nunnery and have them freak out, because I was a student, they know me, and like,
yeah.
So it's like, what are you? I was like, I'm a hockey guy, and they're like, where's your puck or your stick? And I was like, we're walking there, go get it now. Like, they knew I was lying. They wouldn't care if I was Jason, but like 11-year-old Matthew was like, we gotta hide.
We can't do that. So
what are we doing?
You just reminded me. So I also started Chucky season 2.
Oh, how is it?
It's okay so far. It's taking some different turns. I was most excited that this past episode, Meg Tilly showed up.
No way.
Yes.
Same character?
No, Meg Tilly. Mm. Jennifer Tilly's sister.
Meg Tilly. What does she play? Yeah.
Meg Tilly.
Or who does she wait, as herself?
Yes. So
Meg Tilly plays Meg Tilly in Chucky season 2?
Jennifer Tilly plays Jennifer Tilly. Yeah, so. Yeah,
nice.
You have to take a watch. Yeah, Gina Gershon plays Gina Gershon. And,
oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's kind of, I knew she was coming. I love Meg Tilly, and I know I've talked about her Tilly's Tea Time YouTube channel.
Yeah.
But I was excited. She's not on the big screen enough. Speaking of not being on big screen enough, Shelley Duvall apparently is making the return to the big screen.
I did hear some murmurs.
So, fingers crossed. We'll see how she does.
It's been a hot minute.
It has.
How long has it been since her last film?
I don't even know what her last film was, but it's been a long time.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
That'll be nice to see that.
Yes. Wish her luck.
Wish her luck, everybody. Go watch The Shining. Check out Halloween 3 Season of the Witch tonight. And tweet us at @_podcastle. And as always, check out Robert's website at setgender.com and setgender on Instagram. From all of us here, we will see you on the set.